Let's begin our nighttime relaxation. You've never felt more... Feel your eyelids getting... Now let yourself lay back and get a good night of... When cold and flu symptoms won't let you sleep, ask for Night Nurse. Its unbeatable strength helps put cold and flu to bed. Only available at the pharmacy counter. For cold and flu relief, visit dayandnightnurse.co.uk/verify for verification. Always read the label.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
Hi, it's Kate Thornton, host of White Wine Question Time. We're the show that brings together well-known friends to talk through three questions over three glasses of wine. But instead of me telling you why you should listen, we thought we'd let our listeners do that.
It's like having a bunch of friends around whenever I feel lonely.
You've got me through London Marathon last year.
I have genuinely laughed and cried listening to White Wine Question Time, but I've always finished an episode with a smile on my face.
Search for White Wine Question Time now on Acast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallant. The Bay Area betches, and our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Let's take off with Tamala Plain. Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood.
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Joey Grant, the Grandmaster.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Incredible. Incredible Edible Matthew Sisters. And...
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. Joining me is a hilarious man. It's Ronnie Karam, the co-host of the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Hello, Benjamini.
Well, how are you doing in this countdown to Christmas / Hanukkah already started?
Oh my gosh, I'm doing so great. I love Christmas. I love Hanukkah. I love just Santa Claus. I love elves. I'm just very excited for the whole thing.
I am too. I am making some applesauce ahead of a latke situation that's going to be happening tomorrow. And I went to Sprouts and I have never seen so many different types of apples. I mean, the apple world has blown up. There, I mean, you have the standards like Fuji and Gala, and then you got some of the things that are like a little fancier, like Jazz. It's a Jazz apple. And then there's like Snapdragon apples and Sugar Bees. And then there was one that was called Lady Alice apple. And then there was Juicy apple and all these crazy apples. And it was like, that was just the beginning. I'd never seen so many different types of apples. And then it's annoying because it's like, well, which apple do you choose? And they're different shapes and sizes. And I'm like, I want to try them all. I want to use all sorts of apples all together, but you can only do so many. So Holidays, am I right?
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that just life? Just so many apples. You just can't do them all.
You know what? For as many apples as there are in the world or at Sprouts, there are even more Watch What Crappens live shows.
Come see our Jazzy Apple live show.
Yeah. We are the Granny Smith, or at least the Liz Smith of live shows. So we start up again on the 17th for the Golden Crappies, which is sold out. So we're really excited for everyone who is going to be coming to that. If you're looking for a ticket for that, if you didn't get a ticket, definitely go on to our Facebook group, Watch What Crappens Live and Lovin' It. Because a lot of times people have last minute cancellations and stuff like that. So go on there, join that group. And then here are the other shows. We have Detroit, we got Columbus, we got one show left in Austin that's not sold out. We got Houston, we got Hoover, Alabama, which is the Birmingham area, and NOLA, and Kansas City, a.k.a. Lawrence fucking Kansas, which is really not Kansas City, but, you know, it's the region. Omaha, Salt Lake City, home of a new Housewives, okay? Vancouver, British Columbia, Orlando, Florida, Charleston, South Carolina, Oklahoma City, Asbury Park, and then three giant shows to end our first 6 months of the year, D.C., San Francisco, and Boston. Whoa! Huge, huge shows there. So definitely get your tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com.
Beautiful job, man.
Did you like that? The spirit of Luann took over as I was reading those, and I was like, I'm going to go with it. I think maybe I'll just always read them as Luann because... It was fun for me.
Yes, I loved it. I love doing those live shows. It's crazy having a little time off, being just at home. I've been going to movies. Just, I don't know, lots of like little family things.
I can't wait to catch up on movies. My number one movie to see is Parasite. I cannot wait to see it. So that's
kind of fun. Oh, yeah. I cannot wait until that comes out on video. I'm going to be watching
Parasite. I didn't know that someone made a biopic about Danielle Staub, so I'm just, like, very excited to see it.
Parasite is about an old worm that won't leave a house. It's like getting it's like getting some older worm to pay for the house she wants to live in. Like, I will not leave this hole.
I mean, really, like, so many of the Oscar contenders could be about Bravo stars. Knives Out, I mean, speaks for itself.
Star Wars.
1917.
Little Women.
The birthday of like so many of our stars, 1917.
You know, I have to say I hate that preview for 1917. Hate it. I'm sick of it. I don't even want to go to the movies because I know that they're going to make me watch that goddamn preview again.
What is it, like World War One?
Oh, it's like, oh, we have to save it. Only this troop can save the country. And by the way, your brother's over there to save too. Because God forbid, it's not enough that you're going to save the country. You know, it has to be some guy's brother is over there. And then it's a really long preview. And then they just show this guy running. But he looks like, it's like if you asked me to start running. And it's just awkward and fumbly. And I'm like, this poor guy. And they made him shoot it 30 times. And he just has to run for 20 minutes. And I just feel bad for the guy, you know? And I know
it's
he's
probably
in a major
like a
motion
Terrence
picture,
Malick movie.
Yeah, it just looks really, like talky and...
Malick. It's super Malick-y. On the flight back from... I think it's from Seattle. I started to watch this movie. It was a documentary by Peter Jackson, of all people, that came out last year called something like, And They Will Not Be Forgotten, or Their Stories Will Not Be, something like that. And it's basically, the whole gist of it is that Peter Jackson found all this World War One footage, and then he used his magic to colorize it and like change the speed of it so it didn't look like old herky-jerky newsreels. It looked more realistic. So people have said, oh, it's so amazing. So I turned it on. And I'm watching it for like 15 minutes and it's still like black and white newsreel stuff. And all you hear are like, they found like archived voices. So in theory, like this is all like amazing and great, right? Like we're learning, but like these are the voices of the soldiers. But this is what the entire thing was. It was like, some days we would have beet jam. You'd always have beet jam every day. If you had apple jam, those were the good days. But other days you had the beet jam. We didn't know what we were doing. We were young boys. I was 15 and I said I was 18 and they had me there. So I was there. I was in the war. Some days it would be raining. I was in the rain. Other days it was not so rainy. When it would rain, I'd say, that's Queen Mum crying over us. It was like that, like nonstop. And I was like, I'm sorry. I fast forwarded to like the colorized part. I watched some of it. It was cool. And then I switched over to the Aretha Franklin documentary, which was much better.
Oh, my. Yeah. Better choice for sure. But are you sure that Peter Jackson didn't direct this episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta? Because that's exactly how this episode starts. Like,
that's a great segue.
Old newsreel footage. It's like, beat jam. Cynthia eats beet jam in her kitchen with my kale. Wow, those two are going to be a happy couple.
Beet jam. It was. So it's like, child, on a good day, I'd get to be on my kitchen island, but some days I even get to go over to the family room for a belly cue.
My new business, Cynthia Beet Jams. Hashtag.
I think it was Beet Jam. Maybe it was Apple Beet Jam that they got sick of. It was
hashtag Beet Jam. Hashtag Beet Jam.
We are going to revise history. The World War One soldiers had to have Beet Jam.
Beet Jam.
This episode was an extra 15 minutes longer for no good reason. I guess maybe to fit in some silly newsreel stuff, like you said, and maybe even an errant French narration.
Oh, this was so great. This whole episode. A-plus episode. I mean, fucking hilarious. And I was cracking up at this beginning part. This old-timey newsreel footage. And, well, before that even starts, you just hear the French thing. It's like...
Yeah.
Bonjour,
madame. S'il vous plaît, croissante. Ron, 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 petit patapon. Oh, Champs-Élysées. Badam, badam. Oh, Champs-Élysées.
And cards come up to tell us what's going on, like an old-timey movie. There was once a couple in love. And then you see this old-timey movie. All the woman wanted was to get married without being called thirsty. And then it cuts to Cynthia twerking on the ground poorly.
Yeah. And then the man was okay with that. And then there's all this old timey footage. And then it's like Mike with Cynthia's family asking for the blessing. He's like, someday I'm going to ask for Cynthia's hand in marriage. And I just want to make sure that I want to get everyone's blessing. And the mom just goes, okay.
Yeah, who does that? I would like your blessing right in front of her. He's asking right in front of Cynthia.
Yeah.
Then, of course, Mal's like, I am. You have my blessing. Will you help with the wine cellar? It's really cold in there. Please help me. Please.
Mal's going to open up a Mal cellar where she just keeps versions of herself in the cellar.
Hi, it's me, Mal.
Multiplicity Mal.
Hi, I'm Mal. I'm more lifeless than the first Mal.
Yeah. I multiplied myself by accident, so I put myself in the cellar.
Lots of people to polish glasses now.
Honey, I shrunk the Mal. Oh, whoops, I'm still the same size. Oh, well.
Wow, that's a big bowl of cereal. I mean, it's a regular size, but still, it's a big bowl.
I like to think that Mal believes that she was shrunken, but it was a malfunction shrunkenness, and so she's just the same size, but she still says that she's been shrunken, but it just didn't work.
Why is everyone so big?
we're the same size, Mal.
Oh.
Wow, look how big that ant is. I mean, that's normal size.
Rick Moranis quits acting forever. He's like, that was the most boring movie I've ever been in.
That was the worst reboot of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Honey, I Shrunk the Mal.
So then we've got a lot of awkward time cuts, too. They're labeling every scene this time. It's like Wednesday. Now it's Wednesday. Yeah. And it's old-timey music still. Yeah, two days before proposal.
Yeah. So Mike brings Noelle and then his two daughters to Solomon Brothers, because I guess maybe K Jewelers was closed. I personally would recommend Jared, but you know. So he goes to Solomon Brothers to get a ring, and so he's just there with the girls. It's actually kind of sweet. I actually like Mike. I think he seems like a pretty good guy, and his daughter seems sweet, and everyone seems to like Mike. I mean, I feel like when you start with Peter and then you get Will, I think I'm just happy. No one can ever beat Leon. Leon is obviously the gold standard, but, you know, I think Mike is a pretty strong contender.
Yeah, Mike's pretty hot. Not really sure about the whole marrying things when you don't live in the same town, the marrying people when you don't live in the same town, but I think I like him okay. I don't know. I don't trust any man on Housewives. I don't trust any new husband on Housewives.
That's fair. That's fair. And so the girls are like happy for Mike, and Noelle goes, "You guys have such a spark that love just radiates off of you." There's something about this show where like all the kids are barely able to emote. Have you noticed that?
Yes, whether they put every single child through shock therapy before they put them on the show.
Like, did we discuss this, or is this something I talked about with Dom?
Like, oh, we've talked about it a million times. Like how Riley,
Kayla, Noelle.
When
Brent.
There's a scene with Kayla and Riley in the same thing.
Oh, I have to work for my money. I don't know what an ice tray is. You don't even know what an ice tray is? I have a job. I don't want a job. It's like, oh, jeez.
Yeah, like this show, I mean, these kids, they are just bored. They are bored, right? They just, the last thing they ever want to do is be on camera.
Yeah. So this is pretty interesting. Scene. So Caitlin's like, okay, Caitlin is the ring lady. She's like, okay, let's get this wrapped up. The ring, I mean, like the scene is totally great, but wrap it up. So let's go over to Baby Hot Dog, my favorite. So Baby Hot Dog is pulling up Porsche's strap, and Porsche's bow obsession is officially out of control. This baby is going to be bald. Okay. Like, as much as we talk about edges on this show, can we leave the baby some? Because poor baby has like 19 bows.
I didn't even notice, but that's right. She did say she loved bows.
Yes.
Last week, I think.
She's obsessed. This baby has so many bows.
Well, as much as Portia loves bows, it doesn't compare to how much Dennis loves a tracksuit, because he has pulled up in his most apologetic tracksuit. He has come over and, like, it's like. It's more, I think there's more of a purple and, was it purple and black this week? Maybe purple and white. I don't know. But he was in yet another tracksuit. God forbid he's not in a tracksuit.
I know. And it's weird because I thought, God, Porsche's ring is different on her ring machine thing. It's like, da-dum, 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 da-dum. It's just the music that follows this guy around wherever he is. So he's brought over a bouquet of hot dogs to apologize. And there's like a personal chef there.
Hot doggable arrangement.
An edible hot dog.
Edible. Arrangement. By the way, I fully support a hot doggable arrangement if someone ever wants to send one.
I will send you a bouquet of hot dogs, Ben.
Thank you. Thank you.
Your birthday is now covered for next December 4th.
Well, it is Hanukkah right now, Ronnie, so you're not off the hook.
Darling, you've got 8 days of Rondel.
8 days of hot dogs. International, what's the matter?
But I'm only going to send you 7 buns, because that's how hot dogs work, ain't it, everybody?
So rude. So Dennis comes over, and the thing is this, is that last week, all season long, Portia has been angry at Dennis and mad, and she's been working through it, understandably, and she had therapy with Dennis last week, and, you know, Portia has been like, okay, I'm going to fight for my marriage. Which is fine, but I kind of thought she would go through a phase of like reluctant acceptance, or, you know, struggling to let this man back into her life, even though she said yes. No, she's like back to normal now. She's like made him a cake. She made him a cake. I don't even know why. She just made him a cake.
Well, yes.
Maybe it's a cake for the baby.
And got all dressed all hot and everything for him to come over. Portia's going to be like that, you know? She's the one who calls you, talks your head off for 2.5 hours about how she's sick of it. She's not going to take this anymore. He cheated. This is the last step. And then they get back together, and you're the asshole forever saying leave him in the first place.
Exactly. And even, although the producer does ask Portia, like, have you given Dennis the cookies? And she goes, no! No, no, no!
Right.
Yeah, I think there's been some cookie taking.
So Dennis is like, are you ready for your trip?
I'm just thinking of like the Monday Night Football theme song.
Are you ready for some football?
So Portia, basically she's going out of town with the other girls, you know, and the baby, this is the first time we've ever seen the baby's face move when Dennis holds her. Then yeah. she starts kind of like spitting and coming to life, which is interesting. But then he only holds her for like 2 minutes and then goes back to eating his lovely steak yeah. dinner, which every man should get after fucking cheating on you and while you're pregnant.
Jesus exactly. Christ. Like, and the thing is that he's like feeding the baby and then the baby's like taking the bottle for like a little bit. And then he just like basically pulls the bottle out and the baby starts crying. And Portia's like, you only gave her like this, like a teaspoon of like... formula. What the fuck?
Yeah. So he's like, well, we're going to have to upgrade this ring situation. And by upgrade, he means give you one back. Because didn't he take the other one back? Monster. He's a monster.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You are right. Yeah.
But he knows how to keep awful. He knows how to keep Portia interested, that's for sure. Because she's like,
yeah, now that we're back together, he wants to put the ring on my finger. That's a big deal. That means we're a family. It means that... there's true trust that needs to be rebuilt.
I was like, okay, please, you're depressing me now, Portia. Like, I love you, but this is depressing. And we've already got Mark to deal with in this episode.
I know, seriously, Portia. Well, at least Dennis at least tries to act like he is in love with Portia, you know? So then we go over to Cynthia, who is, it's a day before the proposal. Wow. And Cynthia's getting a tuna melt with iced coffee. I'm like, so this way, I'm glad they documented this. That way she can always remember my last day of being single girl. I got a tuna melt.
With avocado in it.
With avocado.
She goes to eat at a place that's very representative of her storyline. It's called The Grind.
Okay.
So she's eating and waiting forever. So you know whoever she's meeting is always late. Who's always late? Marlo is always mm-hmm. late. Okay, we know yeah. personally from this podcast, Marlo's one late ass.
Yeah, yeah. People don't realize this, but what was it? Well, probably at this point, like 4 or 5 years ago, right? What was that?
It was a long time ago. It was close to when we first started doing it, and she was going to come on the show. I mean, it was like not even 20 minutes. It was like an hour and a half or something. It was crazy. And finally, we were like, "No, thanks." What the hell?
Yeah, listen, we love us some Marlo, but we also love our time. Sorry, Marlo.
Sorry, it was an hour and a half. That was crazy.
She's always welcome to come back on the show. Like, that's fine, but, like, you know, we're not going to wait 90 minutes, okay?
Yeah, we'll have to tell her, like, 3 hours earlier, you know, like you do with your late friends.
Yeah, your late friends. That's a brush with fame with Marlo. I also, actually, I'm going to bring this full circle. I actually once saw Marlo in the wild. I saw her at Joey's Cafe on Santa Monica and Sweetser. She was in there. And at Joey's Cafe, one of my favorite things to get there is a tuna melt.
Wow, that is full circle. It's a Cynthia full circle. Cynthia and Marlo full circle.
It's a circle around something really boring. It's like when you're waiting for your food to come. At a restaurant.
Yeah, that is.
You draw your finger around a salt and pepper shaker. It's that circle.
That is definitely a Cynthia full circle.
That is like... a Cynthia. One walk around the kitchen island circle.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favorite shows. And this is one we think you're going to love.
Hi, it's Kate Thornton, host of White Wine Question Time. We're the show that brings together well-known friends to talk through three questions over three glasses of wine. But instead of me telling you why you should listen, we thought we'd let our listeners do that.
It's like having a bunch of friends around whenever I feel lonely.
You've got me through London Marathon last year.
I have genuinely laughed and cried listening to White Wine Question Time, but I've always finished an episode with a smile on my face.
Search for White Wine Question Time now on Acast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
So she's talking to Eva on the phone because that's the only place that Eva's going to shoot now is on FaceTime because she's yeah, going to have a baby every season.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah, they're talking.
Cynthia's really trying to make this snake gate thing happen, and it's not going to happen. It's just not catchy enough, okay? Yeah, hashtagger. I know you love a hashtag, but snake gate, it's not good enough.
Yeah, it's not. And no one seems to really care about it, so it's like it's barely even a gate, you know? Like, yeah. You have to be a gate if something is, like, an excessive controversy. But this is just, like, a passing interest to Cynthia.
Yes. Well, I need clarification. A snake gate. Snake Eat. So she has Marlo. Marlo finally gets there, and Marlo's like, "Oh, hey, I haven't been to this area yet, behind the zoo."
There's nothing inherently wrong with being next to a zoo, but for some reason, the way she says it and knowing that Cynthia invited her there, it somehow feels so appropriate that, of course, Cynthia was like, let's meet behind the zoo first in the melt.
Because it's right by the cellar, the Bailey Wine Cellar, hashtag Bailey Wine Cellar. So she's like, okay, well, you're okay with sitting out here? Because it's kind of hot. I guess I'll sweat.
They start talking about Kenya coming in with her marching band to Marla's big... big opening of her wig.
Yes, and Cynthia's like, well, okay, congratulations. And Marla's like, well, besides her interrupting it, your friend interrupting it. And Cynthia's like, yeah, well, Kenya did make an entrance, but you invited her, so she came. And then Cynthia does this new thing with her new eyes. I have to say, also, best surgery on Bravo. Not sure if it's surgery, if it's tape, if it's just a lot of Botox. Whatever Cynthia is doing, it's the best on Bravo. She looks amazing. But she does this new thing with her eyes where she just squints her eyes. Like when she's like, I'm giving you attitude now. So Cynthia just gives her that squint. And Marlo's like, that was disrespectful. It was me launching my business. Who would do such a thing?
I'm like, you would. You would 100% do that, Marlo.
If you knew anybody with a drum, you would have done that. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I feel like she has done something like that. I'm just trying to remember what it was. But like, I'm pretty sure she has done some ridiculous antic like that before.
Yes. And Cynthia says, well, my relationship with Kenya is different than yours. And she's like, what are you, lovers? And the music stops. And Cynthia just gives her that squint again. Bailey squint.
Yeah, see, this is what happens when you have Cynthia Bailey eyewear, is that you can learn how to squint behind the shades. I don't know what I'm saying.
I know, you would think she'd be squinting less. But
yeah.
I don't know. So well, Marlo says...
like you said, she has the new fillers, so...
Yeah.
They're very, like, squint-forward fillers.
Yes. And Marla says, well, you said it was different, so I thought maybe you were lesbian. So she's like, well, I mean, it's different. Just like I know that you have a different relationship with Nene, and even though you're not telling her off in public, doesn't mean that you're not giving her the business behind closed doors. And,
yeah. Marla's basically, her whole thing is that she just wants to make sure that Kenya's not running all over Cynthia. And Cynthia's like, listen, she knows what time it is, child. Like, I can get her together no matter what. You can lay your wig on your end table every night and not worry about that, honey.
Yeah. So Marlo says, well, you know, I just worry because we've come so far in our friendship. She, have we really? That's why I invited you to lunch. Nene told Candy that she had a mutual friend who recorded me. Dun, dun, dun. Squint, squint, squint. Was it you? Just tell me. Just tell me. First of all, you'll know if Nene ever releases this recording, which I'm still doubtful of. But yeah. If she ever records it, guess what? You're going to hear who the other person was that she's talking to. So the answer is there. Ask for the evidence.
Seriously. Also, like, it's just, like, truly the least consequential detective story of all time, trying to figure out about this recording. And then, especially when I love when they talk about a recording when they're being recorded for a reality TV show on top of everything else.
Yes. And then we get a break, because it's a very, very dramatic scene. So we get a break, and guess, did you see this? I was amazed. It was Miss Gail Simmons doing a movie preview. Doing a Bravo movie preview for Little Women. It's like, okay, A, how many Little Women's are we going to have? Okay? How many times are you going to remake that movie? It's enough, okay? Stop with the Little Women. Second, Gail, really? It's like Gail.
Oh, my
God. You know, I love Gail Simmons, but...
My dear friend Gail Simmons, how funny. Someone must have a sense of humor having Gail, of all people, promote Little Women. I don't think so. Bless her heart.
It is so Gail. Like, the warmth in this preview is so Gail. She's like, wow, they were so transporting. They had gravitas. I was like, okay. And then she tries to cry. She's like, I have a daughter, so it's definitely something I felt in my heart. Really, Gail? Little Women? When was the last time anyone called you that?
Poor Gail. She only agreed to do the promotion because she thought it was called Little Pies. Bless her heart.
Sorry, Gail. Little Chicken Wings is a different movie.
And now, she thinks Mary Louise Alcott is the name of an ice cream. Is that the name of the author of Mary Louise Alcott?
It's not Ben and Jerry's Alcott, Gail.
Ben and Jerry's Alcott. Louisa May Alcott. Sorry. Mary Louise. I'm like Mary Louise Parker.
Alcott.
Mary Louise Parker has nothing to do with a Mary Louise Parker bun, Gail. Okay. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop because now I'm not making any sense. Ooh,
it's also a very important scene. Did you record me? Are you recording me now? And Marlo's like,
are you recording me now while I'm being recorded by Bravo? So Marlo starts to cry.
Yeah, she goes, cry. Marlo says, okay, Cynthia, definitely say something. I won't record it.
Oh. Marlo's like, that's awful to do. That's awful that you would have that tuna melt so close to my face. It really smells. That's awful.
Why would you ask them to put avocado on a grill? Why?
It's bad enough for eating tuna while speaking to my face, but you also had it grilled, so it's just that much more potent. Really, Cynthia?
How many mushy things do you need in one sandwich, Cynthia? Oh.
Why would you melt something on top of tuna? Why?
So Cynthia's like, well, I call it snake gate, because only a snake would do it. I'm like, actually, snakes don't have opposable thumbs, so good luck working your recorder.
Yeah, exactly. Last time I checked, there are no snakes on the press corps.
It could literally be any other kind of animal.
Hi, I'm Herman P. Snake, and I'm here to interview you. I'm just going to turn this dictaphone on. Just one second. Oh, God damn it. Another interview ruined.
Well, fortunately, I can curl my tail to hold this pencil, but I can't hold a pad because I don't have hands. Can I get some help?
Hi, could someone just please press this button down? I mean, I can sort of, like, nudge it a little bit, but it's very, no one's going to help me? No? Barbara Walters, could you do this? No? Oh, you're retired. Okay.
I support you, dear, but snakes shouldn't be reported.
How about you, Deborah Norville? Jane Pauley?
Oh, God. This is going to be a day. So, Cynthia, let's see. So, Marlo's like, when have we been together that I could even record you? And second, when have you even talked bad about Nene to me? And Cynthia's like, well, that's just it. I don't think I do. Hashtag Snakegate. Hashtag B-Jam.
I like that Cynthia didn't even consider the basic logic of it, of like, I think Marlo recorded me and didn't think, oh, wait, I haven't been alone with Marlo in 4 months. And the few times I have been alone with her, I didn't talk shit about Nene. Like, why didn't Cynthia just, like, remember when she had conversations with people one-on-one? Like Yovana, where there was actual footage of her with Yovana, Nene's biggest henchman.
Yes. So Cynthia is now confused, and so she's squinting and just nodding a lot, like she's figured something out, but she hasn't. So Marlo could have turned this into a big fight, but she didn't. She was just like, I would never do that. So Cynthia's like, well, in the spirit of positivity, you know, I was thinking of not inviting you to my Bailey Wine Cellar hashtag BJM hash Cellargate hash Winegate. I was thinking of not inviting you to hashtag Winegate. But I'll invite you. And Marlo's like, well, you know what? Speaking of positive energy, what about Nene? Maybe you should be positive with Nene.
So of course Marlo's trying to, like, reconcile Nene and Cynthia ongoing. And Cynthia's like, no.
Yeah. And now Candy and Todd and their tiny penis struck.
Oh, God. So this scene really triggered me. So Candy and Todd, they show up at, like, a decrepit old house, and there's, like, a broken window. It's, like, in the middle of nowhere, and it turns out this is actually the future home of Ole G Tacos and Tequila, which is the Mexican sequel to OLG.
Ole G. Ole G. Yeah, so he's like,
you know, a taco place, so it's going to be a speakeasy kind of setup.
Yeah, great. Oh god. Yeah, that meant, yeah, exactly. Todd is just like, oh, he is just becoming the worst. I can't stand, like, his ideas are so basic, right? They're so like, oh, okay, we're at a taco rest. So we're in a house in the middle of suburbia, and then there's going to be, it's going to be a taco restaurant, but then also a speakeasy too. Come on now.
Yeah. And it has everything that's going to trigger you, for sure. It has Todd spending Candy's money. Then it has Todd not only spending your money, but getting a place that needs $500,000 or whatever of remodeling.
Yeah.
And then it even has a scene laying out why he does all of this. Because, you know, we talk about this all the time about him spending all of Candy's money. And I'm like, I think he's just trying to work. Then here we get an explanation. Thanks, editors.
Yeah. Yeah, because we literally get, like, first of all, Candy is, like, not happy about this. Because apparently Todd got the lease on this place or bought it, like, 7 months ago and hasn't done anything. He's, like, he keeps saying, oh, okay, this is what the interior is going to be. And Candy's like, it's been sitting here for 6 months, okay? And he's like, oh, but babe, everything I say is going to happen comes through. I haven't had one fumble yet. Like, are we sure about that? Because I feel like every month, every year, you have, like, new crazy ideas. And it's, like, Candy's ideas that are not the fumbles.
Yes. And she's like, yeah, but you're kind of missing the point, you know? Like, I love working, but, you know, you had to sign another lease, you have this, then you got an 18-wheeler, whatever the hell that is. He's like,
we're hauling cars, babe.
And she says, well, we can't just keep spending money when we don't finish projects. And he's like, stop. Yeah. And he starts doing that begging your mom for candy in the store tone.
Yeah, and Candy basically says that Todd has felt pressure to make his own money to prove the world that he doesn't need Candy's money. And that's why he does this every single season. But the thing is that I'm sure he makes money, of course. But so far, we haven't seen Todd be like, much of an impresario about anything. So, like, I don't know.
Well,
I feel
he runs the restaurants and does all that stuff. The thing is, he's trying to prove that he doesn't need her money, but he's using her money to do all of this stuff. And not only that, we see a clip of Mama Joyce, like, he isn't giving you a dime, Candy. And then he opens a restaurant, but it's using the mom's image and the mom's name. So you're trying to prove to her mother by using her mother. I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like I'd be much more impressed with Todd if he weren't always like trying to like kick off some other entrepreneurial thing. Like just if he was just like, okay, I'm here, like, with the Candy's Corporation, and we're overseeing this and that, whatever. But, you know, it's like, you know, I just don't trust people on these shows where every single season they've got, like, a new idea, a new thing. Because it always feels like they're just, like, throwing stuff at the wall and waiting for something to stick. And it doesn't speak to me of, like, ooh, I'm a really business-savvy person. It's more like, I've got a platform. I should capitalize on it. What do I like? I like staplers. I'm coming out with my own type of stapler. And it's like, this is not, like, authentic to who you are and what your passions are.
Yeah, I like staplers, tacos, and, you know, horn jazz bands, but you have to have a password to get in.
Yeah, that's why it's, like, things like Sonia with her toaster oven or Phaedra, who has, like, was going to do a funeral home and then had a donkey booty video, but is also a lawyer. Like, it all is just, like, what are you doing? What is this? Like, I understand it's a lot of it's probably mandated by the producers. Like, can you, like, start something so that we have something to shoot? But it still is, like, it's just, like, crazy when suddenly they just said, oh, and this is what I like to do now also.
Yeah. So Candy's like, come on, just get it together. Like, finish one thing. And I've been through a recession. You haven't. Okay? And he's like,
you think there's going to be a recession?
She's like, that's what the world news thing says.
All yeah. Right. She goes, isn't. And he's like what, huh? I mean, and he starts like shaming her for like preparing for the worst, which is what a good business person should do. You know, it's like he hasn't even heard of a recession before, and he's like, wow, you're the one who's normally like, go do it, but now you got me scared. It's almost like you're scared of success. And she's like, no, don't, you can't play that with me.
Yeah, she's like, I am success.
And let's not like overlook, you mentioned this before, but let's not overlook the fact that with the renovations to OLG Breakfast and some other place and Olay G, that's all going to cost $660,000.
Yes, and she keeps asking, she lists it. She's like, so what about this project? He's like, oh, $100,000. And what about this project? Oh, about $100,000. And what about this project? Oh, just a few $100,000. Oh my God, go make some money. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Drive Uber.
Yeah.
So
drive Uber. You'll get that $500,000 for a remodel in no time.
Yeah, but either way, Candy's like, I've outlasted a recession. I know how it goes, and I'm safe for my moves. So, like, take me out on a date.
Yeah. So now let's go to Cynthia at her Bailey's cellar. She's like, last year I found this amazing space for the wine cellar and the Bailey room. Bailey room. Which I guess is a party rental space.
I don't know. I feel like Cynthia every season does something with a large empty room. It's like every single season there's some other large empty room that needs to be like debuted. Right?
Yes. But this one's going to have lots of plastic vines in it. What every wine person really needs to see. Some plastic ivy vines stapled to the wall.
Exactly.
Nothing says wine like plastic ivy.
Yeah.
Oh, so she's going over it with her party planner, and then everyone starts to get ready for this party. And just so you guys know, it is 12:07 p.m. while Kenya's in her closet.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was like 1:48 p.m. Portia's getting into, like, she's trying out a yellow outfit, but it, like, shows off too much of her post-pregnancy pooch. And she's like, I can't wear this. I'm like, why do we have timestamps about, like, when she got into a Tweety Bird dress?
Yeah. So then Mike comes in, and he's not dressed for the party yet. He's just in his regular shirt, his regular t-shirt. But he hugs Cynthia, and he's like, and he looks right directly in the camera, which is another reason I don't trust him. Why? I don't know. But it bugs me. He's like, hello, camera. Yeah. Hello, my first love.
He's a sportscaster. He's, like, used to looking directly into the camera. That's like okay for him.
Okay. So I'll get off him for right now. But then he's wearing a t-shirt that says, tequila helps. I'm like, nice thing to wear to a wine cellar.
Okay. Yeah, seriously. Hello, are you promoting the wine cellar or the nascent Olay gang?
Yeah. And then Candy and Todd are arriving. Everybody's basically just arriving and giving them shit. You know, like, oh, congratulations. Yeah. What's your most expensive bottle? I'm going to totally buy this with my own money. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, of course Todd does that. And so then Candy's like, see, now Cynthia, I'm so proud of her. She keeps coming up with different ideas. And she sees it through. And then we see like a montage of all of Cynthia's businesses, which I'm pretty sure have all disappeared. Right? We see like the modeling agency. We see the Bailey agency. We see like the book bags. We see the eyewear. We see like, I don't know, decorative napkins, the Bailey napkin. I don't know. Like, it's just like so many things. I'm like, what happened?
Bailey
with all
napkin
these?
Rings. It's the Bailey ring.
Yeah. The Bailey wine vines. Mm-hmm. Now available at the Bailey cellar on the wall.
I don't know if any of these businesses are still around. I would Google them, but this is a long recap already. And honestly, I don't care. But I haven't seen Cynthia Bailey eyewear because I would buy it. She loves a big aviator, which is like the only kind of glasses I can wear.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny that Candy was acting as if Cynthia is like the next, you know, judge on Shark Tank. And I'm like,
Not
quite.
Damn it. Now I'm looking at Cynthia Bailey eyewear. Let's see here. Home, Cynthia Bailey eyewear. There is a site for it called CynthiaBaileyEyewear.com. But it doesn't show up under any of the Google shopping. You know, when you Google something, it says shopping. So
like everyone shows up there.
Yeah, so I guess you can only get it from her website. So anyway, she's paying her host monster. We know that much.
Well, that's good. No, little victories, small victories.
One thing I can say about Cynthia is she pays her server bills.
So. Oh, wait. No, I found the Cynthia Bailey on Cynthia Bailey eyewear. It's on Google Shopping. Specifically, it's in Walmart.
Oh, wow. Oh. Good for her. Look at us. We're shaming someone for being in Walmart like we're Tamara Barney.
Look, no, she's in Walmart. She's she has an aromatherapy. Wait a second. This is organic Cynthia Bailey aromatherapy soy scented candles.
Soy scented?
Oh. She has a, yeah.
Sorry,
she has Cynthia Bailey. Cynthia Bailey apparently has soy scented candles with essential oils.
Wow.
Soy scented.
Soy scented. Sounds delicious.
I'm sorry. I'm down this path here. If you go onto Google Shopping, you can get a Cynthia Bailey in a red dress, cardboard cutout, life-size.
Yes, please.
Oh, my God. A life-size Cynthia Bailey? That is
only
amazing.
If it's squinting.
No. She's striking a pose because of, you know. Oh, wait. One last thing. Someone on Poshmark is apparently, I guess, reselling their Cynthia Bailey reading glasses, and they put them on a little fern. It's like Cynthia Bailey glasses made for ferns.
I'm looking at Cynthia Bailey shopping too. Wow, Walmart. That's really cool, Cynthia. Okay, I take everything back, except that I go to the bottom of the website for eyewear, and it says, we have amazing partnerships. And it has the Bailey agency at the bottom, so I clicked it, and it says, error, looks like this domain isn't connected to a website yet. So she's paying her server. She's just not, you know, keeping the businesses open. But hey, eyewear's in Walmart. Who the hell am I to say something, you know?
I'm not going to shame that. That's a huge deal. I mean, our shirts are not in Walmart.
Rub it in. So, okay. Everyone's
soy
arriving.
Soy-scented candles.
So, yeah, soy-scented candles. So we know that this party at hashtag Bailey Wine Cellar smells like soy, basically, in plastic
yeah, it
vines.
It smells like tuna and soy. It actually smells delicious at this point. It's now turning into a meal.
So Portia arrives. Marlo arrives.
Marlo's tits are out. They are out.
Yeah, she's wearing some weird, like, ice skating. She's kind of wearing that designer who makes all the wedding dresses. What's his name? I forgot his name, but he makes
Nancy.
Like the sheer. We always tease him because he makes like the sheer wedding cream colored wedding dresses.
Oh yeah,
you know that guy.
Oh God, what's his name? He's a Persian dude. Because he was on Shaz of Sunset. He did Nini's thing.
Yeah, so it looks kind of like a Nini wedding dress. But anyway, so everybody's kind of talking and joking around, and Michael whispers to Candy. He's like, "Hey, Candy. Stick around, okay? Stick around. Stick around, Candy. Stick around." She's like,
"Oh." Pedram Couture. Pedram Couture.
Pedram, yes. Pedram.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, Candy is like, okay. So, so Cynthia is, like, receiving gifts and everything, and Nini sends over some fresh sushi to go with the soy. And then on top of that, there's a card that says, "I've been a supportive friend, and today won't be any different, blah, 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 blah." It's just basically saying, like, I support other women, and I'm getting credit right now for being a bigger person right now publicly, and congratulations on the opening of your new business, Nini Leaks.
Yes, and Marlo makes sure she reads the card out loud. She's like, "Read it out loud. If you can share the worst, you can if you can share all the bad, you can share the good, too." So,
and do me a favor, when you read it, can you read it really closely to this flower that's on my lapel? Thank you.
So... so Cynthia has to like read it, and then she has to pretend to give a fuck, you know, because she's reading it to a group of people. So she's like, and tear. She's like, "The fact that Nini put a pen to paper was beyond anything I expected. The fact that she's not here because we're fighting over nothing, basically. Well, it sucks." I'm like, okay, and turn on Kenya in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Yeah, so Cynthia's all choked up, and Candy's even blotting her eye, and Portia goes, "Y'all hear crying from a card and some cheese?"
Yeah. Yep. So Candy texts Kenya. She's like, "Hurry up, because Mike Hill's probably going to propose. Hurry up and get here." So then more people come in. Kenya comes in Pepto Pink, which is fitting, you know, because she's a giant stomach ache. So she's talking to Cynthia and Candy, and she's like, "Listen, we're all married now, so I wanted to invite, or we're all, you know, taken, so I wanted to invite you to dinner. Mike is going to be there. Mark is going to be there. Let's do a triple date."
And so Cynthia shows, I love your Kenya laugh. So Cynthia shows Kenya the card from Nini, and she goes, wow, it takes a big person to apologize, but I don't see an apology in there.
And Candy's like, well, she doesn't think she has to apologize. She just thinks you'll just let bygones be bygones. And Cynthia's already like, well, I think it was from a good place. Yeah. I know Kenya likes to throw shade, be funny, be hilarious, but it's not the right place or time for that. And then she squints at the camera. Uh-oh, here we go.
Yeah, and then Cynthia gets back to the real priority of the night, which is trying to make Snake Aid a thing. Child, I still don't know who Snake Aid is. And they're like, what? What's that? Snake Aid? You know, Snake Aid. Did a snake come through your gate? No, Snake Aid. It's, you know, about the secret recording. Oh, you mean recording gate? No, Snake Aid.
Snake Aid. Just keep saying it over and over. Snake Aid, Snake Aid, Snake Aid.
Snake Aid.
So, the close up on Marlo and Yovana.
That
sound effect.
Suspects one and two.
So Kenya's like, is your mom here? And Cynthia's like, his mom is here. And Kenya's like, oh, so all the family is here? Well, I'm telling you, Cynthia, I have a feeling. I think that Mike might propose. My stomach has butterflies, hence the color of my dress.
And Candy is giving her this look like,
Candy's like, kidding. Just in case anyone's out there seen Frozen 2, I cannot stop doing it. Me and my nieces.
I don't know what that.
You will. One day you're going to be alone at home. This she keeps hearing a voice, and it just keeps going. It's the most obnoxious fucking thing ever. And everybody out there with kids is probably beating the steering wheel right now. Like, shut up.
It sounds like that part of one of my favorite 80s songs by Howard Jones. It's like, you know that song where it's like, 'cause if you feel scared, you know?
Into the unknown. Okay.
But that reminds me of some song. Now it's okay.
It does. It is from a song. Bother. We'll go over it later. I'll play it for you later, and we can try to decide what it is. But I'm going to make everybody in their car crazy, and yeah. I've not been able to stop singing that. So anyway, Cynthia's like, well, if he was going to propose, he would have invited my mom, and she's not here. And then we see the mom coming in the front door.
It's like walking in. It is such a dick move of Kenya to do that. Like, so, so dick. And actually, when she starts to say, like, well, all of Mike's family's here. Candy, if I remember correctly, Candy seems to realize what Kenya's trying to do. And Candy tries to move the conversation in a different direction. And Kenya's like, no, I am going to burst this balloon. I'm going to rain on this parade right now. So
yeah, Kenya's a gross person. I don't know how anybody is friends with Kenya.
Yeah, it was so obnoxious. And so Candy, like, when Cynthia goes away, Candy is like, furious. She's like, why would you bring that up to her? That is so not cool. Like, and then she tells us, she's like, why would she do that, bitch?
Bitch. So Yovana, thank God Yovana's here to lick some butt for, you know, to lick Nini's butt since Nini can't be here, a little proxy. So she comes over and she's like, just wanted to make sure you got Nini's gift. What a great gesture. Get out of here, Yovana. Okay, you have nothing
Yovana,
to do. Like, you have nothing to fucking do on your own. You're pathetic. This is so sad to watch.
I know. She really needs to just, like, stop being so obvious that you clearly recorded her. Like, very, very obvious. So, so then Candy is just, like, gritting her teeth with Kenya, and Kenya's like, should I say something to her? She's like, don't you say another thing. Don't say another word. She's, like, so angry. And then more people start to arrive, and Candy is, like, pacing around outside because she's just so angry, you know? And then it starts to, Mike is starting to like, get ready, and he's getting nervous. So we're sort of just seeing, like, clips around the party, like Marlo and Shamia and Portia talking about Dennis.
Yes. Marlo's talking about Dennis and how she's just trying to get Portia to get over it and just take hot dog back. Just take him back. What's the big deal? And they're talking to Shamia, and she's like, well, we have been going to therapy. And Shamia's like, yeah, I think therapy would do you good. And Marlo's like, the main thing is just, Portia, just communicate. Just communicate. He was fucking someone while she was pregnant. Like, seriously? Yeah. Ask him who he's fucking next time you're pregnant. You know, that way you'll know.
So wrong. You know who should communicate? Marlo, when she's running 90 minutes late. For our podcast. How about that?
This is 5 years we never forget.
I know. Where it's like suddenly like what's like been unearthed. We're like, we haven't talked. And now we said it. And now we said it. We didn't talk about Marlo being late to our podcast. We didn't talk about how she was booked to be a guest. But now we said it, Camille Grammer.
So Cynthia and Mike, they're giving their speech to thank everybody for coming. And he's like, it's Cynthia Bailey's time, everybody. So she's like, I'm not going to say that. Anyone want to say something? Vine on the wall. Mal, just kidding, Mal. Don't say anything.
Oh, I don't get to say anything because I'm so tiny now.
No, Mal, you're the same size. Yeah. You're the same size,
I'm
Mal.
Trying to make my speech, but apparently people can't hear me because I'm so small. Don't step on me. You're human-sized.
Oh.
This is going to last for the next 5 years on this podcast. This ongoing joke about Mal thinking that she's been shrunken by Rick Moranis, but she's normal-sized.
So,
does anybody preserver? Else? I don't want to fall into a glass of wine by accident.
Is this an ocean or a glass of milk?
So Cynthia's like, I'm not going to say a lot. Does anybody else want to say something? No, Cynthia, it's your event. Why would anybody else want to give a speech at your wine event, you fucking weirdo?
Why would anyone have anything to say about being in a wine cellar? Like, I want to thank my mom, my dad for being such supportive parents that allowed me to get to a place in my life where I could take this afternoon off to be at a wine cellar.
Yeah. Eva wants to take the mic, but she's like, Kenya, do you have anything to say? And Kenya's like, no, I'm good. I think that we've come to a silent agreement, and now she knows not to come for me, and thus I send for you, baby girl.
Yeah. So Eva makes some stupid toast, and then she's like, I know that Cynthia's been working on this cellar for a long time, so congrats, even though it's above ground, it's not really a cellar. But so then Mike gets up there to do a toast, good. And he goes, I would like to propose. And everyone's like, oh! And he goes, a toast, that's a fakeroo, or is it? I don't know.
So he's like, sorry. Okay, here's to Cynthia's new ventures. You know, I have to admit, when you said you were opening a wine bar, I said, you don't know a thing about wine. I mean, you drink it, but why the hell would you, of all people, open a wine bar where you have to actually have knowledge of said subject to open with any serious... It's like, geez, nice toast at the wine bar, you dick.
Well, when Cynthia said that she was opening up a wine bar, I said, wow, that's going to be 3 strikes and you're out bottom of the 9th. Cynthia loses the game. But guess what? In this series, she went up with game number 2 and here she is here to knock it home with a wine cellar. No, are these sports analogies lost on this crowd? Are they? Wrong crowd? Wrong audience?
I put Dot. Oh, daughter comes up. I was like, who's Dot? At first I saw that and I was like, Dwight? Dwight's here?
I am Dot. So I'm here to...
I'm Dot, the useless Samsung assistant.
I am Dot. No relation to Jean. Okay, that's a lie. Jean and I are actually best friends.
So his daughter comes up. She's like, you're doing it wrong. You have to toast with something like this. It is champagne. Cynthia Bailey champagne. So he's like, what? You want me to pop this? OMG, it is a ring. Wowee. You are the love.
I just got it.
Yeah,
see? He said, want me to pop this? And but the bottle had a question mark on it. Pop the question.
Ah, see? Wow. Oh, God. Levels. He's really going
there. Wow. Wow. That is a top 10 Sports Center highlight if I ever saw one. I know you don't know what that is.
No. No, I was still laughing. I'm just like that. So he's like, Cynthia, you are my love, my life, my heartbeat, my emotions. Like, you know nothing about wine. Will you accept me for my past, even though you don't know the difference between a Cabernet and a Zinfandel?
You are here for me in my present, a present that involves you not understanding the difference between a port and a Beaujolais.
Okay, so he kneels, and then the kids are holding two pieces of a mirror, like the little orphan Annie heart that's broken in two, but then put back together. Yeah. Like the parents have one part, and she has one part, and it says family in gather font. You know, I love a gather font. It's all over Housewives. Yeah.
And their names are like on one side it says Cynthia and Noelle, and the other side it says Mike and other Kayla, and then the other daughter. And the entire time I was just thinking, where did they get that heart? Where did they get that? Did they get that custom made? And how much did they spend on it for this like one moment gag?
I was just thinking, well, thank God that mirror comes apart easily. Just because it's a Housewives marriage, you know, you can just take it apart very easily. Both can go to the individual homes. That's a prenup part, yeah, right there.
That's a prenup. That's something that Mark would not appreciate.
So then everybody, you know, so happy for her, blah, blah, blah. And Mike Hill ends the proposal with, she doesn't have to be thirsty anymore. Ha, 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 ha. It's like, you're kind of an asshole. Okay.
Well, Cynthia's happy, and she then it's like the next day she's at Lake Bailey with Mike, and they are on day one of a very boring engagement. And then we go over and we see Eva and her children are running around and being kids.
Eva's sitting there holding a roll of paper towels, which is so Eva this season.
Yeah. I really am mad that she's pregnant this season, because I felt like her bitch flower was just like blooming. I thought we were like entering a great Eva era, and instead we're having Eva being exhausted and pregnant. It's not what I want.
Instead, we get Eva with paper towels.
Eva with a paper towel.
Yeah,
It's probably not even select a size. Like, come on, Eva.
And now the meat of the episode: Kenya and Mark together in the car. Oh my god.
This is kind of great. This is kind of awkward and awful and great. A Tesla fight. What we've always been waiting for. So, Kenya, they're off to their triple date with like Candy and Todd and Cynthia and Mike. And Mark just looks so bored and so miserable to even be in this car with his wife.
I mean, the guy really does have just asshole face. He has the face of an asshole. He just looks like a total asshole.
And you know what? He's got like a great smile, and you know that he's coasted by in life on that smile.
Yes. Yeah, he's a good looking guy, and probably coasted, yes. And I've been totally on Kenya's side, even though Kenya's a monster, and I can't believe I've been on her side. But this guy just seems like such a prick. Well, thank you, Kenya, for evening out this playing field, because, God, she's such a dick, too. But first, we start with him.
I don't know.
Well, we'll get to that. Well, I'm starting it early. I'm starting my Kenya hatred again early. But at this part, she's not. At this part, we're just seeing what an asshole this guy is, right?
Yeah. So Kenya's, like, talking about how Mike proposed to Cynthia. And Mark is like, oh, wow, was she surprised? And she's like, well, and like, basically it comes out that she ruined the surprise. and Kenya's, like, insisting that she already knew. And Mark goes, oh, so you snitched? You sold out the guy? That's a big surprise. And Kenya's like, well, she knew it was coming. Ha, 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 sad, ha, ha, sad, ha. So it wasn't a surprise.
Changing the subject, do you know what I do? I summon the car. I can tell the car, come get me. And he goes,
you can probably tell it to come get me in New York. She's like, well, I mean, it doesn't turn major corners or anything. And he's like, oh, it doesn't turn. Great. You want a self-driving car that can't turn? Great car, loser.
Yeah, that becomes like his thing for the next 5 minutes. Oh, really? Driving a self-driving car that doesn't turn? I mean, look at this idiot. This idiot that I'm married with, a self-driving car that doesn't turn. Am I right, everyone? Am I right, everyone? Hey, everyone, look at this car turning. It's because someone's driving it, because it's on its own. It doesn't even turn.
Oh, he's such a jerk.
Yeah.
So evil. And she's like, he drives like a sports car, right? And he goes, oh, great. So you got my child in a car and you're driving fast and you're self-driving. Great. And you're probably speeding because you said sports car. And she's like, I don't speed. And he's like, you got a speeding ticket the other day. So whatever, the loser.
Yeah. Oh, did you get the speeding ticket or was it the self-driving car that can't even turn around the corner? And he went, high five someone, high five.
God. And he's like breathing hard. He looks like he's I don't know. It's like something's wrong with this guy. This is not a good. This is not a good guy.
Well, he is not a good guy. He's a real dick. I'm sorry. And so, Candy. So now everyone's like arriving at this restaurant, and Todd's being all nice to Candy because he's like realizing that like he might be running out of money from her. So he's like, "Wow, you look so beautiful tonight. Your makeup is just amazing, and I love it when you do it yourself because that's when you're the prettiest. You're pretty.
Also, you spend less money so that I can spend more. Wow, look at us in white jeans, and look, we're twins. Wow, oh,
yeah, they are matching.
Wow, we're twins."
It was cute because he was wearing his outfit first, and Candy was like, "Might be fun to match Todd," and now he's annoyed. But I think it's so cute that Candy wanted to match him.
Ugh. So this is what I love: a couple that shows up in matching outfits. Ugh.
Well, no, it would have been more disgusting if, like, they both chose to match, but I like that she just kind of wanted to nag him in that way, but it was sort of like an affectionate thing.
Yeah, so Todd's like,
"Hey, so Michael, now that it's official, did you pull out your phone and start hitting up your exes and being like, sorry?"
And Cynthia's like, "Well, someone got a lot of congrats texts from their exes. I did not hear from mine, so that was fun."
I think that Peter and Will are both still trying to repay their bill from Cricket Wireless.
Peter and Will.
Will send a text. Yeah, they both are. Ooh. They're on a family plan together. The Bar One plan.
Mm. So Cynthia's like, "Yeah, I feel totally different today. I mean, I even felt different in the bed." Oh, okay. So she's like, "You know what was weird? The Kenny came in and she said, I have a feeling he's going to propose. I mean, that's just crazy." And Candy's like, "Ugh." So before they can really commiserate over this, Kenya comes in.
Oh. So they swap around the seats for the women so that way they're not sitting across from their husbands. Whoa! And they're talking about Cynthia now having to plan her wedding. And Kenya's like, "Ha! I've already picked out the perfect venue." Ah! And so they're like, "Wow, Kenya, you know it's not your wedding." You know?
Yes. So Mark is like, "So, Mike, how was the proposal? Were you nervous?" And Mike's like, "Well, I was nervous. You know, it was really hard trying to not tell her what was happening and all. But I guess that worked out."
Yeah. "I'm so glad the surprise wasn't ruined by anyone specifically at this table. That's really nice. Glad that didn't happen."
Yeah. So Kenya's like, "Well, why shouldn't I plan the wedding? I'm good at sticking to a budget. Ask Mark." And Mark's like, "Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm not saying a word on that one.
Loser."
Yeah, yeah. "So good at sticking to a budget that she bought a car that can't even drive on its own without turning curves."
"Well, I was just saying how it was so romantic because Michael got on his knees and that was so thought out. How did you propose, Mark? Go ahead and tell him."
Yeah, because she said she wants a do-over proposal. And so basically the story is that, like, I guess she was in New York and he was up late working or something like that. And she came to the apartment and I guess he wasn't ready for her. And she surprised him by showing up at the apartment, and he ran into the other room, got the ring, and showed it to her and said, "Look who's official now."
And she woke him up, by the way. He's like, "Well, you know, she knew I was working, and she woke me up, so I had to run inside for the ring." He was so romantic.
Yeah, he didn't even get on his knee or say, "Would you be my wife?" He just said, "Look who's official now."
Yeah, and Candy's like, "Yeah, what did you say?" So he tells us. And then Candy's like, "Oh, so he didn't even ask you. He just told you." And he's like, "Well, just ask her about the wedding. How romantic I was at this wedding." And she's like, "Oh, best day of my life. Well, second to winning Miss USA."
Yeah, and Candy says, I think what we all were thinking, which is, I'm pretty shocked that Brooklyn didn't make it into the Kenya's top 2 days of her life. Wow, third place finish for Brooklyn. We have to only assume.
So she's just poking, and he's mad.
Which
now.
By the way, well, because here's the thing, this is the way Kenya operates. Mark was like coming for her for the self-driving car that can't turn corners. So her way of getting back is to lead him down a nice passive-aggressive confrontation about their wedding.
Yes. So she just keeps going. And granted, like, he's an asshole, too. I'm not saying her being an asshole makes him less of an asshole, but God, she's an asshole. It's like, why would you have all of your friends together just to make your man look stupid? You know, like, what's the fucking point? Like, going after somebody. So they're just both terrible. And they're basically that couple who invites you out so they can fight in front of you. And then,
yeah,
you know.
Because it gets real awkward. It gets real awkward.
Oh, they're terrible. So she's like, so what about this? I mean, I don't know if you guys did premarital counseling. And Cynthia's like, well, I mean, we've both been divorced. So I don't know that that would be the worst idea. And Kenya's like, and a prenup.
Yeah, she says that knowing that she's fully going to call out Mark about the prenup situation in like just like a minute from now.
Yep.
So she's like totally steering the conversation, which is, it's obnoxious, but I thought it was hilarious because it was, you know, I love watching passive aggression on TV. It's like my favorite thing. So Candy starts talking about why she got a prenup. She's like, look, you know, I view it as like insurance for the marriage, okay? You never want to use it. But things happen in life, and so you just have it there. And so it's not an issue of romance, whatever. I look at it as insurance for the marriage. She has, like, actually a really, really great response and take on it. And then Kenya immediately goes, Mark didn't want a prenup, so we don't have one. No prenup.
And he's like, well, we didn't even talk about a prenup. I mean, you really have some revisionist history there. She's like, uh-huh, we talked about it, and you said you didn't want one. And he's like, oh, okay, so we didn't talk about it because of me? I mean, listen, this is how I work. You even bring up a prenup, and we're done, okay? It's over.
I didn't understand his logic in this. He's like, oh, well, we didn't have a discussion about it, but if you did bring it up, our relationship would be over. I'm like, yeah, that's probably why you didn't have a discussion about it, you dickwad.
Well, because she's saying they had a discussion, and he said he didn't want one, and he's saying, no, we never even discussed it, but if we had, I would have dumped you.
Right, but that's... No. But she's saying that we didn't have a discussion.
No, she's saying they did have a discussion, and he didn't want a prenup. And he's saying, no, we didn't discuss that. And if we had discussed it, we wouldn't even be in this situation because I wouldn't have married you in the first place. Because if you want to be with me, you're either all the way with me or you're not with me at all. And she's like, well, I started off in the industry. I was a corporation since I was 17, and I'm a self-made person. Now, if you helped me build something. And he's like, I did help you build Kenya Moore. It was a fucking mess, and I fixed it, and now look at you. Now you're doing great.
Yeah. And then they're like, so Candy's like, well, let me ask you this. Would you give Kenya half of Soka or whatever the name of his restaurant is? And he goes, you know what I told her? I said, you can have it. I'll build another one. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're on camera. You're on camera.
Yeah. He's like, I'll take everything from scratch and do it again. I just wanted to add here, when he says he fixed Kenya Moore hair care, it was a mess. And now it's doing really well, which now it is doing really well. I don't know how much he did for it. But Kenya's like, oh, he's a dirty player. He's the type to grab dirt off the ground and throw it in your face. I was like, well, did he help you or didn't he? You know, because now she's laughing like way too hard. Ugh,
well, I think the reason why she said dirty player is because I think that was his way of getting it on the record that he like helped build Kenya Moore hair care.
Well, two can play this game. You met your match this time, I say.
Who are you saying that to? Kenya?
Kenya.
Or to Mark?
To Kenya. Because you know, she's trying to do this to him and get all this stuff on camera. And he's like, okay, well, let's get it on camera that I totally helped you build that business.
Exactly. So Candy's asking Mark where, you know, how, like, now that they're 2 years into the relationship, what does Mark see in Kenya? Or what's his take or whatever? And he's like, well, we're different. You know, Kenya likes a little flash. And she's like, when you say a little flash, though, he goes, let me finish. You're jumping in. You got to respect the conversation. I'm like, and then he starts saying, I don't want to be Mr. Flashy. The flash is not real. I'm like, I will not take that away from you because not everyone needs to like flash. But I hate to break it to you, sir. Your wife has been on TV for like several years. And if you don't like flash, why did you marry a Real Housewife of Atlanta?
And a beauty queen.
And a beauty fucking queen.
She's like, well, I don't think it's flash. I'm a self-made person, and I'm proud of that. You know, remember that conversation we had about me driving a Bentley before we were married? And he's like, yeah, I said, let's take care of the house before we get the Bentley. And she's like, well, my house is paid for, so why shouldn't I get a Bentley? Because you're talking about having a child and getting married to some... Like, what the hell? Like, you are not built for this. I don't even know that she was ever... I don't know if I take
Mark's side on this because I kind of feel like what we're seeing in this conversation and in the Tesla was he is actually kind of the way she's been describing him. Like, there's been like a little bit of skepticism about, you know, well, it's Kenya. You never know. She's always doing an angle to make herself look good. But he has been kind of a dick and condescending. And I don't know. I think that if she did want to get a Bentley, she's allowed to get a Bentley. I think
she's allowed to. It's just that you're in a marriage. Like, if you're in a marriage with somebody, I don't know. It works different.
I'm not sure if from watching them, I'm not sure if it would go the other way around. I'm not sure if she would be able to tell him not to get a Bentley.
Well, I don't think it's that you can tell somebody to do what they're going to do. It's just, I'm not on anybody's side. I'm just saying she's obviously coming for Mark publicly. And for her to be like, why would I even have to discuss it with you? Why do you have to have this discussion in public? Like, it's just, the whole thing is bizarre to me.
Well, here's the thing is that I feel like he really shows his hand at this next part because he starts saying that he likes people who are real, like as opposed to people who are flashy. He likes people who are real, including Nini, who was cool when he met her. And then he goes, she showed me the ultimate respect. She said, hi, Mark, let me introduce you to my husband. And I found that to be the ultimate respect. Ultimate respect. God.
I'm like, wow. So like basic manners.
Yeah. Basic common courtesy. What? And also, like, knowing that Nini is, that his wife and Nini are totally at odds, and that Nini is so obnoxious to Kenya, and then that he would, like go out of his way to talk about how great Nini is. I mean,
yep.
I mean, like, in an ideal world, he would have his wife's back, right? But even if you have a situation where it's like, look, I'm my own man. I can think what I want to think. I feel like out of respect for, if I were in Mark's shoes, out of respect for my wife, I might think, okay, you know what? I don't think Nini is that bad. I think this is between my wife and Nini. But I wouldn't be like, well, Nini is actually great, and she showed me the ultimate respect. That, to me, is the ultimate disrespect to his own wife.
Yes, of course. Yeah, he's coming back and, like, going at her now. It's like she got one on him. Now he's going to go back on her. And I don't know who brought up Nini, but they cut out whatever part. Or maybe it just came up right now, but it seems so weird to pivot, like, straight into Nini. Seems like such an odd turn, but
yeah,
maybe he is just like, fuck you then, Nini, I like Nini. And so she's like, well, let me remind you, Mark, when Nini said, what, is she pregnant with a buffalo? You got extremely upset because that was your unborn child she was talking about.
Yeah. Kenny's like, remember when I told you to be upset? So then, by the way, he also was like, no, Nini's nice to me, so I'm not going to dog her. I'm like, but you will dog your own wife. Like, do you understand how ridiculous that sounds? So then he's like, well, you know, yeah, I was upset when Nini called you, said you were going to have to give birth to a buffalo, but she tried to apologize, and she texted you, and you didn't text her back. She's like, no, she didn't.
And he's like, but you said she did. And she goes, no, she did not. And I would like to remind you, you were highly offended. And so was I.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And so Mark is like, it's about respect and how people treat you. And then Candy is just like sitting there like, why are you doing this to your wife? Like, you see her face. You see how upset she is. This is public. Like, why are you doing this to her?
Yeah. And yeah, Candy's mortified. And Hill jumps in. He's like, well, you know, I will say Nini's always been kind to me, but if it affects my girl, it affects me. You mm-hmm. know, for example, Cynthia doesn't know anything about wine, and so I don't know anything. I'm just kidding. It doesn't work in every aspect. Actually, I know a lot about wine. What were we talking about?
So then, now Kenya's going to give a toast, and she's like, she stands up to give her toast, which is very extra. You're in a restaurant. Just like, you can toast from your seat. It's okay. You're not at a party. And she's like, I just want to congratulate.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Good job. Good job. Go ahead. Go ahead. Good job. Good job. Mark.
Yeah, stupid Mark. So she's like, I just want to congratulate this beautiful couple for just being you. And a toast to Candy for being that ride or die friend. Wow. Ride or die. What a concept. Hopefully, all you men are ride or die too, and by men I mean mainly these two men, and by these two men, just really Mark in that corner, hope they're ride or die to your wife who's standing right here.
Yeah. She's basically like, congratulations to the two couples who are doing it right and to Mark, who is doing it incorrectly, but hopefully that he learns from this very passive-aggressive speech I'm giving.
Yeah.
Like, oh God. And then she adds in there, she goes, hopefully you're doing the ride or die thing yourselves, gentlemen, as the women wear the crowns.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Cynthia's like, I knew it was bad, but I didn't know it was this bad.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I wonder, I'm wondering if we're going to see if the separation, the divorce, if that happens during the season. I'm sure it will, because Kenya would not save that for off camera.
No, that is totally Kenya on camera. And on Watch What Happens Live, Andy asked how it's going, and she's like, well, it's cordial. We're speaking. So I guess they separated.
So far. Okay, well, that's it for... Speaking of cordial, it's time to make a cordial goodbye for the episode. We hope you guys all have a happy Hanukkah today, because it is Hanukkah. And we'll be back tomorrow with some Below Deck. And then on Wednesday, on Christmas, we are going to have some... Are we doing Married to Medicine on Christmas? I forget what we said. Married to Medicine or...
I don't know. Just go check it out. I think so. Works for me. Just check it
just
out.
Check out everything. Well, later this week, we have Married to Medicine, Orange County reunions. It'll be super, super fun.
Below Deck. Also, we're doing a bonus that is full of your mailbag questions. Well, that, so if you're looking for a mailbag.
That'll be for next week, because this week we have part two of Top Chef.
Yeah, there's still a lot, okay? Maybe holidays. We're still just chugging along over here.
We're barely organized over here, but now you know that what's coming on the horizon on some day at some time.
Yeah. Just know we're never shutting the hell up.
No, never.
Okay? Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hello, I'm Jessie Ware, and I present a podcast called Table Manners with my mum. Say hi, mum.
Hi.
We're very proud that Smart EQ for 2 and 4-4 are sponsoring Table Manners at the moment.
Are they all electric, Jess?
Yeah, all of them now, with the new Smart EQ for 2, Cabrio and 4-seater Smart 4-4. It means that the original city car is now fully electric across the range.
Wow, I can't wait to see them.
Apparently they're really fun, spacious and practical to drive, and the new smart car comes with all the benefits of electric driving, like its powerful acceleration. I didn't know that electric cars were so powerful for acceleration.
Neither did I. And that you can charge it at home.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And also, of course, the most important thing, emission-free driving.
Perfect for the city.
Search Smart EQ 4-2 and 4-4 to find out more.
An Apple original series.
18 years, that's how long Warren Cave has sat in jail for murder. Is there an innocent man in prison because of me?
You think all the secrets came out during the trial?
I have to get to the truth.
Octavia Spencer, Aaron Paul, Lizzie Kaplan.
People get their show.
Truth be told, open the Apple TV app to start watching now. New episodes Fridays. Apple TV Plus subscription required.